Hi, everyone. Today I will be presenting our work on measuring PGP prevalence and PGP distribution through paper install services. When we use the term potentially unwanted programs, or PUP from now on, we usually refer to applications that, while not outright malicious, they exhibit intrusive behavior that generates user complaints, and at the end, this software is actually getting flagged by the EV industry. Two typical examples, as you already know, is adware and rogueware. Rogueware is a kind of software that has questionable functionality and claims to improve the performance or even the security of the user computer, while at the same time it tries to sell licenses of itself through scary warnings like the one we see here. Now, a fundamental difference between PUP and malware is distribution. Malware is usually distributed through silent installation vectors like drive-by downloads, and usually the malware is actually dropped after a successful vulnerability exploitation. While you already know that PUP is distributed through software bundles, and usually with the consent of the user. And you can see here two examples of two software that actually offering during their installation to the user to install also unwanted software. However, despite this difference in the distribution, there has been a report from Trend Micro showing that at some point the installed brain adware start dropping instances of Mevada Cephnet malware. And this raises the question, is this a common behavior for PUP? And what are exactly the relationships between PUP and malware? Now, prior work has also hinted on PUP prevalence. We actually see in this graph the samples from malware feeds being split into PUP in orange and malware in red using the AV labels of the samples. And we actually see that PUP has been increasing over time, and especially after 2013 has been dominating these malware feeds. And we also saw that 5% of the unique IPs accessing Google have injected advertisements. Now, despite this, PUP prevalence remains unknown, and we do not know how many users are actually affected by PUP. In this work, we focus on PUP distribution through paper install services. And these are exactly the same services as Kurt presented before. But despite this, I would like to spend a moment giving a typical example of how PPIs operate. So at the top, we have again, we have advertisers, which are software publishers that they want to advertise their software, meaning they want to buy installation of the software. And this software can be benign, can be unwanted software. And as we will already see later, it can occasionally be malware. Now, these advertisers are actually giving their software to a PPI service, and they also pay per installation. The PPI service is acting as a middleman that contacts an affiliate publisher, where in a common scenario, this affiliate publisher will be also a software publisher of a popular freeware application like VLC that wants to monetize its application and will give again the application to the PPI service that will bundle it, give the bundle back to the affiliate publisher that he needs now to distribute it to the target host. And during the installation, for example, of VLC, the user will be prompted also to install the advertiser software. Now, for its successful installation, the affiliate publisher is being paid a part of the fee that the advertiser has paid. Now, I would like to make a distinction on our terminology here. I would like to say that we use in this presentation the term publishers to refer in general to all software owners. And in this case, advertisers and affiliate publishers are publishers. However, when you use the term affiliate publishers, we refer to these software owners that have this specific role in the ecosystem. Now, these PPI services that we examine here are actually completely different from the malware PPI services that have been studied in the past. Therefore, we don't know how many PPI services exist out there and what type of PUP is advertised through those. Now, one of the first things that we did is we analyzed the prices from three such PPI services, and we compared them to the malware PPI services, and we see that malware distribution through PPI services can be up to an order of magnitude cheaper. So in this work, we make the following contribution. First, We measure PUP prevalence and its distribution through PPI services. Then we create a concept of the publisher graph that captures the who installs who relationships among PUP publishers. And then we use these graphs to actually identify the prevalent PPI services and the advertisers and the software that they distribute. And finally, we examine the PUP malware relationships. Now, comparing our work with the work that Kurt just presented, we actually see that these two works are complementary. We have a different approach. We actually start from bottom to the top, starting from 3.9 million real hosts. And then we first measure PUP prevalence, and then we try to have a broad view of the whole ecosystem, while they start from four PPI services, and they go deep analyzing the software that has been distributed through those, and also applying some measurements for those PPI services. We also have a different analysis period. We focus on between 2013 and 2014, while they focus for from 2015 to 2016. And also, our geographical coverage is different. We study advertiser software that has been distributed to users from different countries, while they focus mainly on US. Now, in our work, we make use of three main data sets. The first one is actually 11 million reports, virus total reports of malicious and undesirable software, and we actually use this data set to create an initial seed of PUP publishers. Then we make use of Malsign dataset that has been used in prior work and contains 142,000 signed samples, signed malware and PUP, including their clustering families. And we use this actually, as we will see, during our clustering of PUP publishers. And finally, the most important dataset is actually the Symantec Wine dataset that contains AV telemetry from 3.9 million real Windows hosts. And we use this, of course, to make our measurements of the PPI ecosystem and of the PUP prevalence. We use in total 8 billion events for 19 months. And an event here is any kind of download, any event where an executable has been downloaded or a file has been extracted from a compressed archive. So before starting doing any measurement, we actually need to go and identify any events in Wine dataset that includes PUP among the billions of events that included in this dataset. So what we do, we actually focus only on signed executables. And we do this because digital signatures allow us to attribute safely an executable to a specific software publisher. And we also, leveraging the fact that properly signed executables that are flagged by AVs are predominantly PUP. So what we do here, we start with 11 million hashes that we got from a private feed. We query virus total, we get the virus total reports, and then we filter out any samples that are benign or they have invalid digital signatures. And from those, we actually come up to 2.5 million VT reports, where all the samples there have properly signed. And from those, we extract the publisher strings, and we come up with a list of 1,000 PUP publishers. And then we use this list to actually query Wine dataset and get any event that involves any file signed by these guys. So at the end, we come up with the 8 billion events that I discussed before. Now, if you notice here, the number of the publishers that we collected at the end, it's much higher than the one that we used for in the initial seed. And this is because in the 6,000 that you see here, there are also benign publishers. Because, for example, if we see a PUP being downloaded from a browser, we'll also keep the publisher of this browser. And also, for some of those events, we have the URL information. So from where exactly this executable has been downloaded. Now, the next step in our approach is actually to go and cluster publishers. We do this because we want to group together publishers that we know are from the same people or the same companies. And this is because PUP is actually heavily using certificate polymorphism to avoid AV detection and also to avoid the revocation of their certificates by the certification authorities. So the details of our features are actually included in the paper, so I would like to give you only the intuition behind those. So first, we apply publisher name similarity, where we take the publisher strings, we tokenize them, we normalize them, and at the end we apply a similarity metric to group together similar publishers. And then for the next two features, we're actually using the URL information from these events. So the intuition here is, if we see different publishers often being downloaded by the same domain, then we group these publishers together. And at the same way, if we see different publishers often using the same domain to download executables, we group those together. Of course, here we exclude any domain that belongs to a download portal or any file locker. And at the end, we make use of the MalSign clustering that includes 2,200 clusters that has been generated using static features from the actual binaries. So at the end, from 6,000 publishers, we come up to 5,000 publisher clusters. And here we still have the benign publishers. But from those, we actually can go to 915 PUP publisher clusters. And we define here a PUP publisher cluster as any cluster that has a high detection ratio, where detection ratio simply is the fraction of executables that are flagged by AVs over all the executables from this publisher cluster. So now that we actually have identified the PUP publishers in our dataset, we can start doing our measurements. So the first thing that we do is we actually measure PUP prevalence. So PUP prevalence in our dataset means the following thing. From all the internet users, semantic users are actually a subset of those. And those that are opted in to share their data with Symantec is also a subset. And from those, we actually go and measure how many of those are affected from PUP. And we see that 54%, or 2.1 million of Wine hosts, have at least one PUP executable installed during our analysis period. This, of course, is a lower bound number because we focus only on signed executables. Now, the interesting thing is if we can extrapolate to see how many internet users are affected. Sadly, we can only do a really, really roughly estimation that this can be around two orders of magnitude larger because Symantec has actually an 8% market share and only 1/16 of the Symantec users are actually opting to share their data. Now, a really interesting thing that we can do here is actually to go on this 3.9 million hosts and rank all the publishers that we see there, benign and PUP. And of course, in the most popular ones, we see benign stuff, but already in the 15th position, we see Perion Network, which is the largest PPI service in our dataset, affecting 1 million hosts. And already at the 24th position, we see again Mindspark, which is another PUP publisher. So this shows us that PUP publishers are among the most widely installed software publishers. Now that we measured PUP prevalence, we can actually leverage our coverage and go and explore the PPI ecosystem. What we are interested to answer here is how many PPI services exist out there, what type of PUP is distributed, how is it distributed, and what are the relationships with malware. So to do this, we actually make use of the concept of the publisher graph. So the publisher graph is a directed graph that we generate for each publisher cluster. And for example, here we see OpenCandy publisher cluster. So first here, we take all the parent publisher clusters. And this means any cluster that we have seen at least one event of it dropping any file from the OpenCandy cluster. And here our edges are actually accumulating all the events we've seen from all the hosts during the whole analysis period. And in the same way, we get also the children publisher clusters. And this graph now is actually capturing the who installs who relationships. Here, we also need to calculate the in and out degree in this graph. So the in degree, for the in degree, we actually exclude 12 publisher clusters that are benign, and we know that they distribute browsers. They are the software owners of browser, messengers, Dropbox, and other similar software. And in the same way, for the out degree, we exclude any benign publisher cluster because, as we saw, it's usually due to software dependencies. Now that we have the in and out degree for all our publisher clusters, we can go and identify PPI services that are out there. So first, we use an heuristic rule, and then we apply manual analysis to verify what we see. So the rule here is, give me publisher clusters that have high detection ratio, have both high in and high out degree. And this is because we want to check to get publishers that are being dropped a lot and they are dropping a lot of stuff. So applying this rule, we go from 5,000 publisher clusters to 49 candidates. And from those, after an extensive manual analysis on their websites, on the Internet Archive, and on PPI forums, we go and verify 24 of those. So you can see here the top five. And the first thing that you can observe is that their detection ratio are pretty high. And this means that the AV industry are heavily flagging them. And we also see that they have really high in and out degree, meaning they're dropping software for many different publishers and they're being dropped a lot. And finally, they affect a lot of hosts. Actually, we see that the three of the top five PUP publishers in all our data set are PPI services, and this shows the popularity of those services. Now the question is, are these all the PPI services that were out there when we did our analysis? Actually, in our analysis period. We went online and we identified 12 more of those that we haven't seen, and the reason for those that we haven't seen are mostly because either they weren't popular or they gained popularity after analysis period. We see at least one that distribute unsigned bundles, and this means that we don't catch it with our approach. And we also see a few resellers. And these resellers are actually using the infrastructure of larger PPI services, and they don't have their own infrastructure. So now that we have identified 24 PPI services, we want to go and see what kind of advertisers are using these 24 PPI services. So again, we apply an heuristic rule that says, give me publisher clusters that have high detection ratio. They have high in degree, meaning they are being dropped a lot, but they are not dropping a lot of stuff, and this is the low out degree. And finally, the most important is that we need to see a parent publisher cluster that has been identified as a PPI service from a previous step. And from applying this rule, we come up with 77 advertisers. As you already know, advertisers are actually paying to install their software, so they need to monetize it in some way. So a manual analysis on the top 30 advertiser clusters show us the main product that these guys distribute. And from those, we see that the majority are actually browser add-ons that they monetize through advertisement, either by modifying search engine results or injecting shopping deals and price comparison. And the rest from the top 30 are actually client applications. A big category is rogueware, such as performance optimizers, another kind of and a mixed category of software like backup tools and multimedia players. Now these are actually monetizing through selling licenses and subscriptions. Now that we identified these advertisers, we can actually go and see how is PUP distributed in our dataset. So to do that, we start with all the events that have actually dropped a PUP. And from those, we go to analyze the parents. Sadly, we can only do it for 71% of these parents because these are the signed ones. But a drill down on those shows us that the majority is actually PUP. So PUP are generally installed by other PUP. And also, we see that 26% of these signed parents are actually PPI services. And this shows us that PPI services are playing an important role in the distribution of PUP. In our paper, we include also the number for advertisers that have their own affiliate programs. Now, the last question that we are interested in answering is actually the relationships between PUP and malware. Now, the main challenge here is actually to go and accurately label malware in Wine dataset. And this is because in Wine dataset, we don't have the actual binaries that are involved in the event. So what we do here, we make use of a recently published open source tool that is called AV Class, that has been produced by our team, that taking the AV labels of a sample, it actually generates the most popular family name that is used by the AV industry. So here, what we do is we actually select 70 popular malware families like ZBot, Zero Access, another, and we focus only on the relationship of these families with PUP. And I know that this is not 100% accurate because we may miss a lot of stuff, but this is enough to gain some insights on the relationships. Now, the first question that we want to answer here is, does PUP download malware? And the answer is yes. We see 5,600 events, but this percentage is really low. And we actually see that they distribute 40 different families. And an example of those is Perion Network that is actually dropping ZBot and Psylocke Trojans. Now, the thing is that this percentage is really low. And the reason for this, it can be either because malware are preferring silent installation methods, and also because it's cheaper, as we saw, but it may be also that the PPI services are careful to avoid distributing malware in order to maintain the reputation. Now, we're also interested in answering if malware is downloading PUP. And we actually see, again, that 11,000 events, but still the percentage is really low. And in this case, malware is actually acting as an affiliate publisher in the events that we have a PPI service involved. So at the end, the conclusion from this analysis is that malware distribution seems disjoint from PUP distribution. Now, I would like to end this talk with the most important points from our work. First, we actually did a measurement on the PUP prevalence on 3.9 million real hosts, and we saw that 54% have at least one PUP software installed. And then we used our coverage to go and have a bird's eye view of the PPI ecosystem. And we identified 24 different PPI services that they distribute 26% of all the signed PUP. And also, we identified 77 advertiser clusters that have been using these 24 PPI services that they distribute mostly browser add-ons. And finally, we examined the relationship between PUP and malware, and we saw that malware distribution seems disjoint from PUP distribution. And that's all from me.
Any questions?
Antoine Lemay from École Polytechnique de Montréal. I've seen that when you do your merging for the different types of publishers for PUP, that you use very rough indications. For example, if they use the exact same website, but some may use multiple websites, and if they do, they should get merged together. And this would severely affect the way that you do your graph ordering. For example, when you count the number of in degrees and out degrees.
Yes, this is true that we may split in more cluster if this happens. But in general, as you saw, the URL information, we don't have this information for so many events in general. But this, it may affect the in and out degree, of course, and we may miss some stuff. Yeah. So it's always a lower bound, the number of the PPI services, for example. That.
Yeah, in fact, if one particular publisher is operating multiple websites and you're calculating the in degree separately, they will have a smaller general out degree than if you have, for example, all of the traffic from a single publisher merge because they use always the same certificate?
No, I think it's okay. So the in and out degree is actually calculated on the events on the host. So in that case, we'll see this single publisher cluster, for example, being dropped from different files or not. So this, in that case, it won't play any role. So I think there's a misconception here on how the clustering is done.
Any other questions? I have a quick one. So you say that you know it's very uncommon for PUP to drop malware and vice versa. Did you look at whether malware and PUP are sharing the same network infrastructure or the same, you know, they come from the same autonomous systems or things like that?
No, because actually, yeah, as you saw, the URL events are pretty low, so it's probably not the correct data set to do this. But it's okay. Sure something really interesting to see in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Anything else? All right, let's thank our speaker again.